This is Hillside Church's Sermon of the Week. Thank you so much for listening. To find out more about our church, our ministries, and our outreaches, please visit hillsidechurch.us.
We've been looking at some different themes found in worship. And, you know, we, as a church, we have our own playlist here, some of the songs we sing on Sunday. And it's not just a time saver, right? We don't just, have music up front to allow time for you to arrive so I can get up and follow. No, we truly believe that something powerful happens in worship. You know, a lot of times, even as April mentioned, during the worship time in between songs, she's just mentioning, and, you know, we want to lay what we bring in down at God's feet because we just believe that things are better left in His hands. And worship gives us an opportunity to do that. Worship provides an opportunity, space, if you will, for us to just become once again attuned and aware of God's presence. And that is our hope, that when you come in, you know, that it is a time of reflection, a time of declaration, a time of confession. Maybe like the first song, in case you miss it, called Bless the Lord. I don't know about you, but sometimes you got to sing to yourself. And David, he's writing in the Psalms, in that particular one, he's saying, bless the Lord. He's not saying, oh, your soul. That would be a strange song. He's saying, oh, my soul. Because we need to remind ourselves that we are created to worship God, and there's a mystery to it. There really is. There's a mystery to it, just like there is with communion. There's a mystery. There's something supernatural taking place. And for us, I just see worship as an opportunity to tune back in, if you will, to kind of get centered on what we consider true north, following after God and following after Him. So thank you for participating in worship. Just to give you a little bit of a backstory to this series, we're in week four. We're going to be wrapping it up today, but we have just been looking at some of the different aspects, different songs that we've sung. Several weeks ago, I kicked off with King of My Heart, just talking about worship. You know, it begins at the heart. Doesn't begin with the song, you know. It begins with our heart and our attitude and our posture towards God. Then the next week, Mitch, our children's minister, our children's director, did a phenomenal job with the subject of grace, just to be cognizant, always mindful of God's grace in our lives. Grace, if you will, is what opens the door for us to step in to our relationship and into the presence of God. Last week, spoke on Father's Day, not really a Father's Day message, but we did use a good song for Father's Day, Good, Good Father, as cheesy as that may come across. Great song, but we just talked about how we do serve a phenomenal Heavenly Father. Well, today, I'm not going to use a song. Is that okay? I got a new direction as I was preparing, and even though there are a number of reference points I could use from our time together during worship. But today I want to talk about a short passage. It kind of hinges on this verse in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, it's verse 25. We're going to spend just a short moment there, but we're also going to look at some of the before and after of that particular verse. But I've entitled this message, Three Mysterious Invitations to worship. Three mysterious invitations to worship. And what we're going to look at are two men named Paul, who you're probably very aware of from reading in the New Testament, and one of his compatriots, if you will, Silas, a circumstance that they found themselves in. And now Paul and Silas don't do what I'm about to do, but I'm about to pretend that they're inviting us to experience what they experienced. And I've called this Three Mysterious Invitations. So if you can, you know, picture, you know, one of those panels, all right? And this is somewhere, you know, where a guy goes around with a mic and he's handing it to Paul. So what was going through your mind? And Paul and Silas kind of invite us into the story, and I think it could have great impact for our life. So I've called today Three Mysterious Invitations to worship. Three mysterious invitations to worship. So Paul and Silas inviting us to be worshipers. Paul and Silas, their story is accounted for in the book of Acts by a biblical author named Luke. Luke was, he also wrote a gospel called Luke. And Luke and Acts actually kind of tag team go together. They're written to the same person, a Roman centurion or a Roman officer. And it's an eyewitness account. So Luke would go around and gather all these stories. And he was on some of Paul and Silas's very own journeys. And he would go gather a bunch of information, you know, not fake news, real news. Gather a bunch of information, begin to write it down. And we have the account in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, as well as the account of the book of Acts, which is the early church. Well, here's the verse. Acts 16, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Two words, about midnight. Now, some of you, I know we have some interesting people here. Some of you, you are awake at midnight. It's just who you are. Like, you don't get to bed till about 3. When I see 4 o'clock, I'm prepping for bed. When it's 8 o'clock, I'm winding down. When it's 9 o'clock, I'm really trying to be in bed. Like, a good night for me is to sleep all through the night. We have an 18-month-old, and midnight's her favorite hour of the 24-hour cycle, at least this past week. She just loves midnight. She likes to scream, likes to call out, likes to cry out for things. But I'm one of those guys, and I've always been that way. I was that guy in college. I was the boring roommate when they're like, yeah, let's watch some TV. I'm like, no, let's just go to bed. Like, let's sleep. Is there anything better than sleep? You know those people who try to be real spiritual, and they're like, man, we're going to sleep in heaven. I'm like, why do you think it's called heaven? You know? Or, well, no. They say we're not going to sleep in heaven, so that had me curious. No, in all sincerity, think of those words, about midnight. I understand in the actual account of the story, we're talking about a time. But I want to briefly ask you, have you ever in your life faced an about midnight moment? About midnight, it kind of just brings this symbolic nature to it. You know, again, I said, for some of you, midnight's a happy, you know, that's like your happy hour. For me, midnight, that is terrible. I want to be fast asleep, and I want it silent. But midnight, it's got this, almost this symbolic nature to it. It's inconvenient if you're having to wake up. Unless you're used to it, it's inconvenient. Midnight, nobody wants to get up at midnight. It's like, I've still got 6 hours left. What am I awake for? It's a bit of an inconvenient time. It's a bit, you know, midnight, typically, outside of the summer solstice, in most places it's dark, right? It's pitch black overhead about midnight. About midnight kind of brings in this sense of darkness or inconvenience or for frustration. I remember one of the church fathers wrote a book called The Dark Night of the Soul. It just talks about, man, being in a place of maybe a lonely season, maybe a difficult season, maybe a disappointing season, maybe a time where, you know, things didn't look like they were going your way. I understand this is talking about a specific time, but think about that. Just think about for your own life. Have you ever faced an about midnight moment? Kind of, you know, maybe you had a decision to make and it was running all the way to the very, very end, and God stepped in or a friend stepped in the nick of time. About midnight, we see something curious taking place. We see something strange taking place that Paul and Silas, and we'll begin to discuss their situation in more detail in just a moment, but Paul and Silas, about midnight, they're not sound asleep. They are praying and singing hymns to God. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were just getting revved up. At about midnight, I'm all revved down. Like, about midnight, in the inconvenience and in the disappointment and the frustration of where they find themselves, they look around. Oh, it's a good time to worship. I look around. It's a good time to go sleep. I look around, and I'm like, honey, can you get Emma? She's wide awake. Can you get her quiet? Can we work things out? And it was speaking to me just this week, the mysterious invitations of Paul and Silas. And I want to tell you something, that in the moment it seems least appropriate, least convenient, least comfortable, is often when you need worship the most. That when it is so difficult and you can barely find the words to speak is often when you need to lift your hands and find a song. That maybe the circumstance you're going in right now, you are dialoguing with your friends. Maybe you do like me and you're getting 16 books to read about a subject. Like, where did it start? How did this begin? How's this going to end? You know? Or maybe you are searching all throughout Scripture, which we highly recommend. And maybe you find yourself still anxious. Can I propose to you? You don't need a system of steps to find the rescue. You may just need a song to change the perspective. To literally change the foundation, the wobbly, wet foundation, onto a strong, firm foundation. Because, now, spoiler alert, but as we'll see here in a moment, worship has the propensity to break chains off of our lives. Worship has the propensity to take you from the bottom of a pit to outside of a pit. And let me tell you this, it's crazy. It is counterintuitive. It is not learned behavior. It's things we're not taught. Like, we have some good teachers in this world, do we not? And they teach us how to panic, how to live with anxiety, how to live disappointed, and how to live frustrated. And then comes along God in all of his mercy, compassion, and love, and it gives us the Holy Spirit, who's known as the Counselor, the Comforter. And what does he do? He makes things inconvenient. He will not agree with my anxiety. He comes along and says, no, we can handle that. No, I've been around. I've been around, God. I don't think we can handle this. No, we can handle this. Okay. He has a way of taking, you know, stressful circumstances and in the blink of an eye, turning the corner. And so Paul and Silas, I believe if they were here, and if they were talking to the American church, keep in mind, out of about 166 countries, America is 101st with anxiety levels. We're doing pretty good, are we not? Reason to celebrate this morning. Isn't that wild? We are a first world nation, a leader in multiple areas. And yet, as far as anxiety goes, it's done us no good. And that's why I believe what we really need in our lives is a posture of worship. And so Paul and the Silas, in the most, y'all, you've got to read Acts 16. It's the strangest account. I don't have time to spend in all the different stories, but it's the strangest event. Paul and Silas are chained up in prison, and here's the kicker, for setting somebody free. How's that for obscure symbolism? So here they've set somebody free and they find themselves chained and in prison. Like, I'm calling my lawyer. I'm like, man, we doing something, but we ain't worshiping. And Paul and Silas, they look at each other and like, man, let's just pray. Like, you know, you ever been in those circumstances? Come on, it makes you feel guilty, doesn't it? It's like, man, here's my story. Man, have you prayed about it? No, I'd rather not pray. I just wanted to complain for a little bit. I just was hoping to bring you in, and can't you, no, let's pray. No. Well, man, you should come to church and worship. No, I don't want to be in church. I got stuff. And here's what I propose. In the midst of stuff, we can worship God. Paul and Silas, with their backs against the wall, I'm getting ahead of myself. So here we go. Paul and Silas, obscure situation, about midnight, inconvenient. It's dark. It's, you know, they can't even see, I'm sure, their own shadows. They're. You talk about, we've got nice, comfortable pews here. Some of you may disagree. I think they're okay. You know, and it's just comfortable, and we're the air conditioning's on. They're probably in a hole in the ground, chained up, and the officer of the guard, every eye is on them. And here's what's amazing. These other prisoners begin to hear. I'm not going to sing. This would be a good time, but begin to hear the worship. They begin to hear the prayer. Something begins to happen. And Paul and Silas, these three mysterious invitations, first off, I believe we're going to frame these with a statement and then what they say. So when your plans change, we invite you to worship. That's the first thought. As if you're taking notes that are in your worship guide, you can follow along. But think of this. when your plans change, we invite you to worship. How many spontaneous people do we have this morning? You don't need this point. How many non-spontaneous people do we have? Like, y'all need this point. I'm a little more non-spontaneous. My wife's very spontaneous. And us kind of planned, type A, you know, driven, real intense people, we don't like our plans messed with. Amen? Amen. Don't mess with my plans. Well, Paul and Silas, their plans have totally changed. Their plans have completely been rearranged. Their calendar is now upside down. Things, you know, there was a start date, there was an end date. They were on their way to pray. I mean, come on. They're on their way to pray, and their plans get completely changed. We read in Acts chapter 16, we see in verse 16, here's the account. It says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the spirit left her. That's a good thing for the lady and for Paul and the early church. But for the fortune tellers that were making a fortune, pun intended, off of her prophetic abilities, well, they were highly aggravated. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. And then the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Once receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. You talk about an inconvenience. My goodness, they're doing the very will of God. In fact, a few verses before we find Paul and Silas, they just church planted for goodness sake. They just started a church in a little town called Philippi. Not a little town, pretty good sized town called Philippi. And here they are, this early church, things are going great. Not only that, man, they're praying for people. They're seeing them set free and everything is going great. But it was inconvenient for these people. And so all of a sudden they are in line and in tune with God and their plans are completely wrecked. And that's frustrating. And sometimes you don't understand. The thing about Luke is it's an eyewitness report. So we don't get a lot of commentary. You know, if I'm Luke, I'm like, Paul, how are you feeling? Hey, Silas, what's going through you? We don't get to know the backstory. All we recognize is what they did. And so here, when your plans change, Paul and Silas say, no. Paul, you panic. Paul being me. Paul, you panic too easy. You're too anxious. God's in control. You have a reason to worship. Like, you may have gotten knocked off your throne, but God's still on his throne. Like, he is still orchestrating this thing. You mean, this is Paul interchange. Like, man, we just planted this church. You mean you're going to take care of Philippi? Yeah. I'm going to make it amazing. Okay. How are we going to do that? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. You just keep your eyes on me and keep worshiping me. It's astounding, isn't it? Doesn't it speak to you? I know it just kind of pulled me this week to again remind you of a truth we say around here often. Let's not be led by our circumstances. Let's be led by our Savior. You know, because circumstances, man, it's going to change. It's going to be up and maybe up again and be up again. When you least expect it, the bottom may drop out. But guess what? Just because the bottom drops out doesn't mean we don't have a sure foundation in God himself. And so I would propose to you that about the midnight hour, it's time for us to worship. That when the plans have changed, when, you know, we set out on this thing, whatever it might be, marriage, family, a new job endeavor, a new business endeavor, a new relationship. Maybe you finally worked up the guts to kind of step out of your comfort zone. And you're like, well, this is great for the first 30 days. And then it shifted. Can I propose to you, when you least feel like it, it's time to get on your knees and praise God. Because the very thing you need isn't worry. It's worship. The very thing you need isn't to worry and to figure everything out. It's to trust God on your knees in worship. It's that understanding that when our plans change, Paul and Silas, we invite you to worship. Could be anything. I just have a few examples. Job transition, a shift in your family, a financial emergency, a loved one, some unpredictable circumstances. You know, sometimes in life you think you know somebody and you find out they kept a secret for a while, and you didn't know them, even in those moments, even in those circumstances. We can still worship. A marriage. I mean, it could just be any point or area of our life where the plans have changed. And come on, if you're breathing today, which you all are, your plans will change. And can I tell you, you don't have to panic. You don't have to worry. You can trust God. You can turn worry into worship. I mean, you can turn the panic into praise and trust God that He will deliver you, that He will bring you out, that His word is faithful and His promise is true. Secondly, I've got this. When life hurts, Paul and Silas come along and they would say, "We invite you to worship." There are moments, I was reading this account, but you ever read the Bible so much it kind of loses its punch? I put myself with Paul, okay? I'm not one of those guys, you can tell looking at me. I don't enjoy pain. Some of you enjoy, like, physical pain. I don't enjoy physical pain. Like, if there are stairs and there's an escalator, I'm taking the escalator. Come on, you know, some of you are like, I can earn some calories and points doing it. I'm like, but there's an escalator. Like, I'm going to, if it's comfortable, let me take it. If it's a little easier, man, isn't that, that's human nature. Come on, we live in America. Everything is built on what? Comfort, right? Comfort. Let's kind of like pain-proof ourselves. You know, I heard somebody talk about it with their spouse. Not my wife. I've got her Starbucks drink down. But I heard somebody talk about one of a pastor friend I know. He was talking about his wife would give him the Starbucks order. And it was like gluten-free, sugar-free, milk-free, caffeine-free, you know, heat-free. I don't know. I mean, all the freeze. And he used this analogy. He said, there can be a point in your life where you want all these different things taken out, but you may find you're living Jesus free. Like, that you've so padded things and can be, that you have no dependency on God. And Paul and Silas, let me just say this, every step, they were leaning, trusting God. And even in this highly inconvenient, I said, man, now's a good time to worship. Now's an opportunity to sing. Like, now's an opportunity to pray. We can trust God. We can believe God. And so I say this, when life hurts, they invite us. They call for us to worship. In verse 22 and 23, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. I mean, imagine the physical pain of that. And let's kind of take that off the table. Don't worry about physical pain. Well, what about maybe some of the things that they were navigating internally? Some of the questions they had. Because I want to let you know, a few verses earlier, Paul is asleep. He's in an entirely different region than the city of Philippi. He's in somewhere else. And in this dream, the Holy Spirit shows up through a man in this region and says, hey, Paul, it's time for you to come over here. We need to hear about Jesus. Like, that's a pretty good dream. So what does Paul do? Paul, again, he's yielded. He's been, yeah, we're gonna go. We're gonna do this thing that God's put on our hearts. Let's do it. So what do? They go. They start a church. They start a place of prayer. It's incredible. It's remarkable. But then all of a sudden, the tables are turned. Can you imagine how defeated they must have felt? Can you imagine that? You talk about discouragement. Whew. That'll knock the wind out of your sails, wouldn't it, a little bit? And in the pain, in the hurt, in the wrongful accusation, in the lies themselves, they're able to still worship. Nothing can shut you down like hurt. Amen to that. It's not an easy thing to say, but nothing can shut you down. Can it not? Not physical pain, but the hurt of a loved one, the hurt of a friend. Can I propose to you? It's in those moments we do have a place to turn. We can draw near to God. We can bring that into his presence and lay it at his feet like Paul and Silas did. I mean, I wish that Luke, you know, kind of wrote an additional account where he expressed what they were going through. We don't get that. We just see. What do we see? We see that they worshiped. I'm reminded of a gentleman with a strange name. His name's Horatio Spafford. Yeah, you won't forget that name. He's the author of the song, It Is Well. You remember that? We sing that here on some Sundays. It Is Well with My Soul. It Is Well with My Soul. He wrote that in a time of great loss. He had left, no kidding, his family, his wife and four daughters had gone on a trip. He was a Chicago businessman. They had gone on a trip to Europe to kind of alleviate some tension. The great Chicago fire broke out. Business got thwarted. He was like, man, let's just get away. Let's just get out. Let's go tour Europe. Amen to that. I jump on that trip. Well, they go, and they're getting, and out shortly after, or not shortly, excuse me, they were only a short distance from reaching England, and the very ship, the very boat they're on, gets hit. And the sound's dramatic, because it is. He loses all four daughters. His wife remains. His wife stays. Anna was her name. And they went on to have more children. But in the moment of greatest pain, he writes the song that says, it is well with my soul. Man, isn't that the kind of faith you want? I look at a story like that, I'm like, whew, I would like some of what he has. Just the trust, just the strength, just the hope to hold on that our best days are ahead. That I'm not going to give root to fear. I'm not going to give root to anxiety. I'm not going to give root to living under a false weight. But even in the midst of that, I can still lift my hands and say, it is well with my soul. It's remarkable, isn't it? Y'all look like you're ready for lunch. Amen. Amen, Pastor. Can you end? When your plans change, we invite you to worship. When life hurts, we invite you to worship. When your back, here's the final one, when your back is against the wall, we invite you to worship. The three mysterious invitations to worship. Think of that. When your back is against the wall, we invite you to worship. In verse 24, it says, upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. I mean, you can almost get the picture that things, yes, are inconvenient, but man, the pressure is against them. Will we ever get out? Will we ever be able to, you know, taste freedom again? Paul and Silas did not know, but they remained patiently with their back against the wall. They found a place, they found a moment, they found a space to live in and declare God's praise and God's mercy. When they prayed together, they trusted God and they worshiped him for his goodness and his faithfulness in their lives. I remember the account. The book, I think, is just simply called The Comeback. The Comeback. It's written by one of my heroes of the faith. His name's Louis Giglio. And he heads up a church called the Passion City Church in Atlanta, part of what is known as the Passion Movement, a young adult movement of people that are just passionate, students that are just passionate and in love with God. And he's been doing this, goodness knows, about 18, 19 years. Had a tremendous impact. We sing many of their songs. Chris Tomlin, some of the big-time worship leaders are part or were part of that movement. And here is this hero of the faith, at least for me. And he writes in the story, The Comeback. It should be titled, Things aren't as they seem. Because he writes in the story called The Comeback, a season of life, 2 years. Think of this, 2 years. He's doing ministry in nation after nation. Passion went international. They would gather thousands upon thousands of students in Africa, in South Africa, all the different nations, incredible. In Qatar, I guess they call it here. In some of these nations in the Middle East, just this large gatherings of worship. And here's what he shared. He said, man, I went 2 years. He said, it started one night, 2 a.m. I wake up and my mind would race. It was like a hamster wheel. He said, for 2 years, that thing would not shut down. He said, I went to a psychiatrist and, you know, had counseling appointments, had all these things, and he got medication. I mean, he kind of shared part of his story, and he calls it the comeback, because guess what? He was about to throw the towel in. And here I am, man, I'm on my phone downloading the latest Passion album, like, thinking, it's so amazing. Thinking, man, that's what it feels like to have the wind at your sails. But can I tell you, sometimes when your influence is the greatest, things can oftentimes be the most difficult. And he was going through this journey, and it's accounted in the comeback. And here's where he said the comeback began. He said it was a few weeks in that he just decided, man, I can't sleep. And he would just lay in his bed, and he would just begin to sing and account worship songs. He would just begin slowly but surely. That's all he could do. He just whispered. Some of you probably know what that may be like. I've had those seasons. I've had those moments where your mind so much is going on in the field. You could almost feel like the walls coming in. The pressure is so heavy. But Louis Giglio accounts said, man, I just started to account and to sing these songs. And he just started to trust in that proverb that said, or that verse where it says, blessed is he who keeps his mind on you. I think I butchered it, but it's the basic line where it's like, man, blessed is he who keeps his mind on you. And slowly but surely, as he turned his eyes to Jesus, the breakthrough that he needed began to come. And he invites us in this book called The Comeback. It was a few years ago when it came out. Just this remarkable account of somebody that you would think from the outside looking in, man, you got everything together. And he was like, no. When our influence was at its peak, at its highest, here I was in a desperate state. And here's the gift that God gave me. It was worship. It was opportunity to step into something so mysterious and to just trust him and just to sing his name, just to put my face towards God and trust that he will work on my behalf. You know, there's power in worship. There's power in trusting God. I've shared briefly on the symbolic nature of our verses together, and I'm going to wrap up right now. But at the beginning, I said, there's something about midnight. And I use the symbolic nature. Well, here at the end, I want to tie in something that also is symbolic. It happened in the story. And as Paul and Silas were praying and worshiping, an earthquake occurred. And you think your singing voice is bad. I mean, they must have had something going on, but no. In all sincerity, an earthquake occurred. And all the prisoners were freed. And as I was studying this week and I was praying this week, it was like the Holy Spirit just whispered. I know he whispered it to me, but I believe he'd whisper it to you as well. That the freedom you need from your circumstances, it's not in the natural, it's in the supernatural first. And that oftentimes, the first thing, if you're like me, again, I'm wired this way, and it's just the way it is. I go after a system, or I go after some practical steps, or I like, let's build a structure, let's get a plan. And instead of those things, I would encourage you to find a song. Because it's in the midst of those songs, or in the midst of a song where the presence of God comes so close, and we just give him the opportunity, the space to do what only he can do. My wife, if she was here, she would share. I remember several years ago, her knee, just ailment. Just she could walk, but it was really, really painful. It had been a difficult season for a few weeks for her. And we showed up at this worship night. down. When we lived in Florida, we drove over to Mobile, Alabama, and we can't pin the timing of it. All we know is we just worshiped. We just praised God. And from the moment we walked in, there was pain. And the moment we left, well, actually, it was way before that. I was worshiping, you know, and Kelly's pulling on my arm. I'm like, not now. I'm trying to meet with God, you know. Not now. You know, pastors, right? Well, anyhow, I'm worshiping. She's like, my knee, there's no pain. There's no pain. This is totally healed. We see supernatural things taking place. I've seen, man, God do in the midst of a few songs, something so supernatural, that people's hearts that were so hard, they leave softened. Why? Not simply because the music was amazing, but because the presence of God can do what only the presence of God can do. So Paul and Silas, they invite us. They invite us because life has us sometimes in these moments. Man, I know many of you, you're riding on the mountaintop. And we encourage, I believe, that is part of our portion in life. Come on. Jesus said you'll have the abundant life. I believe in the blessing and we trust God. But can I tell you something? It's in these moments where Luke, you know, they could have left the story out. But they give an account of the early church that even in the midst of the pain, even in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of confusion, you know, Paul and Silas find themselves praying and singing, trusting God. And I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today that if there's an area, you should, you know, work towards a goal, work towards a plan, be working for good things in your life. And I get all that, but can I tell you, there's nothing like surrendering whatever you're walking through to God and worshiping Him, trusting Him to do what only He can do. Amen? All right, let's close together as I pray for you and we end our time. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for worship, the gift of worship, God, that we can be here celebrating you and your faithfulness. Lord, I just pray for every heart, every person represented here, God. I know, even in my own life, Lord, there are times and there are seasons where there are weights that we carry, God. And there are burdens, Lord, and sometimes it just seems that you've called us to be broken. But Lord, I thank you that you are the healer and you are the restorer and you are the reconciler, God. And I thank you that in the midst, if there's anyone here in the midst of these circumstances, God, where the plans have changed, when the hurt is great, Lord, where the disappointment seems to be daily, I pray that, Lord, worship would become their next step. And God, I thank you that you are faithful to deliver every person. We thank you for your goodness. I speak the peace of God over every family here. We love you, and we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Hillside Church's weekly sermon. We hope this message encouraged you and equipped you in your journey with God. If you'd like to give to Hillside Church or find out more information about one of our ministries, please be sure to visit hillsidechurch.us. God bless and have an incredible week.